Before I read this again, I want you to think about this for a moment. The person that penned this was a shepherd himself. He knew what it meant to provide protection for a flock. It's even written that he killed and fought off lions and bears to protect his sheep. Would you think of for a moment about the person who wrote this? Being a warrior, taking on a giant with just a sling and a stone. A king insisting that he wear his armor for protection. And he didn't even have the strength to carry it. But he had the faith to trust in God and pick up three stones, only needing one. I want you to think for a moment, who wrote this? A king. A king that would stumble and falter and find forgiveness. A king who had the world and riches that we can't fathom. Writing it and realizing you could have it all, yet have nothing if you didn't have that last verse, the faith and hope of dwelling with God the Father forever. Not just in this life, but the life to come. Imagine for a moment who penned these six short verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the very word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That might be God calling. I've read that passage at every funeral I've ever officiated. It's probably more known to people, whether they're Christians or not. It's heard around the world. And I think about that. And I think about the person who wrote those six verses. His firsthand experience of being a shepherd, his being a warrior, his faith in God, his kingdom, his rule, his faults, his sins. And I think about how all of that writing in those six verses points to humbling ourselves, allowing ourselves to be like sheep, stubborn, hungry, wanting to go out on our own. It's interesting, I was over in Israel for 5 weeks on an archaeological excavation. In the heat of the summer, And we were at Tel Gezer, and on the tell, it's like on top the high point, so it made a good lookout city. And as a result, it had been conquered and destroyed and rebuilt and conquered and destroyed and rebuilt multiple times. And so we're up there and digging, and the whole side of the mountain is covered with, I don't know what kind of dry grass or wheat or something. It was covered with some type of, well, it wasn't even green because of the time of year it was summer. But anyway, imagine 2 foot tall grass, not green, but kind of tan, covering this whole mountainside. And we had been there for probably 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, this flock, or not a flock, what would you call a group of sheep? A herd of sheep, right? Is that what you call it? I'm not a technical person, as you can tell, but so there was probably 75 to 100 sheep that show up, and they're grazing. And it was fascinating to watch. Like, when we first noticed them, they were down over the hill, and an hour later, they had made it like 50 feet up the hill, and everything in front of them was 2 foot tall, and everything was behind them was gone. Like, they leveled it all. I mean, just ate everything in their path. And it just really fascinated me. And about an hour later, they got close enough to where they had demolished another section. And then I heard this yelping kind of sound, and it was the shepherd. Just one guy. One guy for 100 sheep. And I thought, wow. And he made a few yips and yells, and all of a sudden the sheep just decided they were full and turned and went down the mountain following him. Next day they came back, and the shepherd would yelp and call and direct 100 sheep. And they would respond to his voice. And in that moment, I was thinking of Psalm 23 and how David was trying to say, we need to be like sheep. We need to be able to hear the shepherd's voice, because the shepherd's going to guide us to greener pastures. He's going to guide us to still waters. He's going to guide us away from the dangers, and he's going to love us and care for us. And I think about that, and I wonder where I find myself in that story, right? Am I in the pasture overeating like I tend to do? Or am I realizing the blessing of God so abundant that my cup overflows? Can I hear the shepherd's voice leading me? And am I willing to take the rest that he thinks I need when he leads me beside still waters? Sometimes I'm not so humble, and I feel like I'm the shepherd trying to tell God what to do. And in his grace and mercy, he simply gives me a little nudge. And I'm reminded, oh yeah, I have to listen too, right? The Lord is our shepherd. And when we can put our desires aside, when we can close our thoughts off to the world, we can truly realize that there's nothing that we really want for, because He's already provided it. So as we come to the table this evening, think about the provision that Jesus offers in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup. Hear the voice of the shepherd who wants to provide nourishment, comfort, protection, guidance, safety, forgiveness, and love. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and gave thanks, and He broke it. Now, this just came to me the other night. I know I'm a seminary student or a graduate, and I should have already had this figured out, but when you prepare yourself for communion, to see communion in a new way, doggone it, God reveals something to you. And here's what was revealed to me the other night that I found so profound and so beautiful, and I was so astonished that I hadn't seen it before. That in the breaking of the bread, Jesus is saying, "This is my body broken for you." And the pastor like tore it in front of us. And in that tearing, I thought of Jesus in His death tearing the veil that separated God from His people. And I think in that tearing, not only is it His body that is being broken, but it's that veil, that curtain that separated us from God is being torn open. And that invitation to step in to the very presence of God is being made real through the breaking of the bread. They gave me a goosebumps, they really did. And then to think, if that wasn't enough to say, here, you now have full access to God the Father, Jesus says, I want you to have that full access, clean and free from sin. And so therefore, I bless this cup and give thanks, for it is my blood poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins, so that when you enter into the presence of God, you will be white as snow, a sheep unblemished. And so we would pray that God would pour out His Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that He would make them be for us the very body which opens the access, and the very blood which cleanses us for that chance meeting. In Jesus' name, amen. Communion in a new way. I just want to say a couple things. Number one, you don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive this gift of grace. To receive that promise to receive the forgiveness. And number two, before you come up, I would invite you to simply take a moment between you and God and just confess whatever it is. You don't have to do it out loud. Just between you and God, have a sacred moment so that when you come, you can receive and be cleansed and forgiven. I'd like to ask Chrissy to come up and serve communion tonight. Would you do that? And I have a surprise for you. I do. Somebody's going to serve with you, right behind you. I'm going to give that to you. That to you. Okay. You just need a switch. There's a gluten-free station here. And as you come forward, simply extend your hands, and a piece of bread will be taken and broken from the loaf and handed to you. And you can respond however you want to. Amen. Thanks be to God. Love you, Jesus. It's up to you. But receive that grace. And then when you do, step to the cup and simply dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. And respond however you would like to. And then return back to your seat. So let us take a moment May we come to you, Lord, with clean hands and steady eyes to receive the blessing of your love this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, the invitation has been extended, the table's ready, and it's time to respond.
Keep me near the cross, near a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, the Lamb of God. In Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in
I misquoted scripture earlier to someone, and I want to correct that. David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Let me translate that. David says, "I am a sheep." And here's why that's so important. From Psalm 139, not 119. "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle on the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." In other words, there's nowhere we can go to escape from God's presence. There's nowhere we can flee that God won't pursue us. Jesus speaks of that when he talks about having 99 sheep and losing one. He says a good shepherd will actually leave the 99, trusting that in community they'll be okay. And he'll go after, the good shepherd will go after the one. David, a shepherd, a warrior, a king, comes to the point of humbling himself and saying, "I'd rather be a sheep because I know God's got this." Amen. So tonight, may you leave from this place humbled, beautiful like a sheep, trusting in the whisper of God's voice to lead you to green pastures and still waters, and eventually home someday, home in heaven. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod